Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this.
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maven here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, there's good news and bad news. Or maybe you think both are bad. Bad news is Marcus is not here today. Had a few things needed to get taken care of. So he won't be in today. Now, here's where the good news is. First off, Steve Rummage is here. Nikki V.
They want the boot.
Is in the booth. We have a guest coming in at 11 o'clock. And some people know how this works. Marcus is kind of the dad of this show, right? He kind of drives the ship. I'm emotional. I'm an emotional guy when it comes to U of L sports, right?
So you'd like the older brother?
Kind of, yeah.
Makes me the kid brother?
You are like the wild card. You ever saw It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I'm Charlie.
Yes. You're the wild card.
I know how to read, Steve.
Yeah. Say, never quite know. I'm an emotional fan. Which means when I'm in here by myself, I'm controlling where the show goes. I'm controlling the conversation. I'm controlling the emotion. And right now, I think fans are kind of emotional. And that's the kind of show we're probably going to have today. So we're going to have some conversations about the state. Marcus does a great job at keeping things. He really does at keeping, and that's why I think we work so well together. He keeps me kind of honed in to, okay, like on Monday, let's keep it game specific. Let's do this, this. Whereas I am very much a big picture guy. I am the Louisville fan that's like, yes, I'm enjoying this year, but I'm looking to next year already. You know, I'm looking 5 years down the road. Where am I going to be? And I think that's how a lot of people do it. And that's kind of where I think the fan base is right now, all the way around every sport. So we're going to have that conversation. Coach Mack obviously talked yesterday, had some quotes coming out, some that I liked. Others, we'll see. Coach Satterfield is where he's at right now. We're going to have that conversation today. I tweeted something yesterday, kind of a thought I had, something I think would be a smart idea to do. I'm going to throw it out here today. I'm going to see what you guys think about it and see what Nikki V thinks about it. At 11 o'clock or around 11 o'clock, Matt Willinger is going to come in. He's going to join me. He's a great sports mind. He is working with the Alumni Association over at U of L. They got some things coming up for homecoming. I want to get that out to the fan base, but then I also want to pick his brain about what he's feeling that way. And he's got a little more of a pulse on the university and what's happening over there. So, obviously, I will pick his brain and see what's going on, see what's going on with that. So, with that said, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. So, text line, 38-31, 93-9. I like to be very involved with the text line. I think the text line is important, so I will be reading most of your text that come in.
This sounds way more positive.
What's the phone number?
Oh, 502-8150.
8150-939.
Okay, I can't remember the text line. I always give the
38-31-93-9. I can remember that one. Okay.
Yeah.
8150-939 is the phone line. Okay. Golly. Here's one issue. Let's get a little small talk out of the way first before we dive into some serious stuff here. This is the first coffee out I've had in a long time. People know I've been kind of detoxing, doing some things.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
It's good. I can really taste. I got the apple crisp macchiato. Haha, jokes. I know. Laugh it up. I got the apple crisp macchiato iced, and it is.
That sounds delightful.
I can taste it. Like, I can taste the flavors now, I will say. Whereas before, I think I just got so numb to just like, sweet coffee, whatever.
Right.
So that may be what has thrown me off a little bit. Also, today. I'm going to get these texts in just a second. Sorry, I was making sure the text line, I hadn't refreshed it, so now it's up. Yeah, you're fine, Nick. You can take that. Also, last night, people know, for Nick Valvano's sake, he's sitting in there in his Rangers jersey now. I have made a conscious, honest effort to get into hockey. I really have.
I am so effing proud.
I really have, because I'm like, you really enjoy it, and you're our producer, and I'm like,
rocking the Rangers sweater.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I was like, he's in his Rangers stuff right now. So I have chosen, because they kind of did truthfully win me over. There's some truth to that. When I was in Vegas watching the Golden Knights, and I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, I mean, there was playoff time, to be fair. I mean, it was kind of a cheat code. But, I mean, everything was decked out in Golden Knights stuff. I mean, they were huge fans there. So they kind of won me over there. I mean, outside of the T-Mobile Arena, they had this huge screen set up, man. There was thousands of people out there watching the game. There's a bar. They were packed. I mean, it was awesome. So I've kind of adopted the Vegas Golden Knights as my squad. And, I mean, I could have gotten... I could have been, well, I'm a Tampa Bay fan.
Right.
You know, like, because I do like the Orlando area, but I'm like, dude, like, I can't be the last two, you know, like, all of a sudden now I'm a Tampa Bay guy, you know, it's like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so, they're too good.
Yeah. So I was like, no, the Vegas Golden Knights. So last night I sat there, man, and I watched the Vegas Golden Knights opening night take on the Kraken. Expansion team.
They turned the Kraken into Calamari.
It got close, though.
See, I turned it off. I need to stop turning off events.
Yeah, like, it ended up being 4-3.
Oh, they came all the way back.
Yeah, it ended up being 4-3. They never took the lead.
They scored two goals on their first three shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, ooh.
Yeah, Vegas tore it up, man.
They were sexy goals. A little tic-tac-toe action.
Oh, dude, listen. Ready. He come with the around the world on the one. Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah. Okay, see, I feel you. See, I am learning the term. Like, I'm really, people joke, I'm giving this a for real shot. Like, I'm like, no, I'm in. Like, I'm going to root and I'm going to watch. I'm learning the conferences. I'm learning the divisions. Who's in my division? You know, who's like, so, like, I really am, like, putting an effort into this. Vegas go. I've got gear on the way that I ordered last night. Like, I'm like, no, I'm in. So, the wife even watched with me. That opening, too, was pretty awesome. So,
oh, yeah. I actually dubbed that.
It was pretty sick.
Gave me chills.
Let's see. Steve, need a show to fill in that noon to three spot. You know.
Whoa. Easy does it.
As much as I would love to kick Nick's butt every day, I mean, you know.
The show has enjoyed not having, you know, minus you coffee for a little while.
Beating Bob Valvano. There's no way. Valvano.
We like to just, you know, go up against national programming. It makes our jobs easier. Thank you very much.
Going up against Steve Rummage would make your job easier. Let's see. Good thing you guys are the best 1-2 punch. It's like LeBron is out and AD is still playing. I'm glad I'm AD. I appreciate
that.
Can I
be playoff Rondo?
No.
Oh.
Somebody said you can be Russell Westbrook.
No.
Kind of cause trouble, but you're good. But yet you're never really going to like win a championship.
That's me.
Yeah.
Good, but not good enough to win.
I know.
Also, I like to wear traffic cone attire every now and again.
Yeah, fair enough. But you got to admit, those Seattle Kraken uniforms were awesome. They were pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet. Okay, here, let's do this. Who we got on the phone line?
My buddy Anthony.
Okay.
High school, who promised me he's not going to swear today.
Okay,
Anthony.
Fair enough. Let's get to Anthony. We'll start off the show here. You kick us off, and then we'll dive into some stuff here. Anthony, welcome into Middays with Marcus Maven. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
It's good. It's good.
Trying not to cuss today, like Nick said.
Fair enough.
But
it happens.
I just wanted to mention, I didn't get to it yesterday. When I was watching the game, just the music at the stadium, like it was after the last touchdown we scored before, while we were still up. They played Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, which that's fine. We understand that's rock, but I just figured, you know, Living on a Prayer right after our last touchdown, I was like, we got to be more confident than that. But it turns out we didn't need to be more confident because we lost. But also after that, like right after they got done playing Living on a Prayer, and I was texting my dad, and I was like, why are we playing that? Like, we just scored. It should be something, you know, to get us pumped up. The band started playing, and I couldn't tell what it was because it was just band instruments, but I knew the song. They were playing Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time, like right after they got done playing the Bon Jovi, like during the fourth quarter. And I was just, I don't know, I just wanted to mention that, see if I was the only one that noticed that or what was going on. Like, what happened to the stadium? You just get the crowd pumped up and stuff.
Listen.
Hey, Britney Spears One More Time. Like, the band actually, I guess, had to go learn that during the summer and stuff. Like,
well,
listen. Had to learn that.
Here's the thing. Anthony, I appreciate the call. I guess it depends. I mean, look, maybe Britney Spears might be my hype music, for all you know.
I was going to say, I mean, little Backstreet Boys.
Listen,
man.
My running workout, I have a workout mix. It's my running mix, and it has everything from Metallica to Katy Perry. Like, I mean,
eclectic.
I see you.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I'm all the way through. Now, I'm a country music guy. Like, I like country music. That's what I listen to mostly. But, like, when I work out, I mean, listen, I have Migos, Metallica, Katy Perry. Like, I mean, it's Shinedown. Like, all this stuff. Like, the mix is just insane.
Dude, my algorithm for YouTube, there's, like, lately it's been giving me a lot of Rob Zombie, which I don't apologize for.
It's kind
of
weird. Yeah.
But it's just, it's very strange. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be like Katy Perry, Olivia Rodrigo,
yeah.
Andrew WK,
yeah.
The Doom video game soundtrack.
That'll do it.
Yep. And then it's like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how I've gotten to this mix, but yeah. I'm not totally upset about it.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, so I like all different kinds, too. And sometimes I run to my country mix. I just enjoy a little jog around just to
there you go.
Some country, yeah. And so anyways, let's get into some emotional talk here. Because my happiness, I'm just going to be honest with you. My happiness really depends on what the University of Louisville does.
Fair. I feel like a lot of fans would feel that way.
Is that unfortunate? Yes. Is that an unfortunate way to live? Yes, it is. But is it how I live? Yes.
I think it's unfortunate. I think a lot of people live that way.
Sure.
Why are you so down on yourself, Steve? You're saying that you're not going to beat the V Show in ratings if you go head to head. And quite honestly, we'll start at 12:10, so I think you got a pretty good chance.
Well, I mean, that would give me a 10-minute head start. I could probably say something very controversial on the air to keep people around.
Dad and I will be eating sandwiches. People get annoyed with that.
If I know you guys are starting at that, I'll just, you know, say, listen, at 2:30, I fire a coach. Stay tuned.
Dad and I, okay, what's the best condiment for a pastrami on rye? I say, you just need sauerkraut. You don't even need nothing else.
And I'm going to be over here just like, is Vince Tyre good enough to be here? Tune in at 2. I know, yeah. So, okay, here's the thing, though. The Cowboys, yes, they are the next closest for me in happy. Like, I do legitimately lose sleep if the Cowboys lose a big game, you know, like a playoff game. But, you know, it pros, you're a little more stable, I think. College, and then the Reds just.
Yeah. But there's certain teams where you've just kind of accepted it.
The Reds. God bless them. I love them. I love them. They, it's, but with And got my Vols. I'm wearing the shirt here.
there it is.
Tennessee Vols.
Burnt orange.
Yeah. That's just a, like, I've got family there. It's one of my favorite places on planet Earth down there. Tennessee recruited me, and it was one of the best visits I've ever been on. Like, it was just amazing. So that's kind of where, and then of course there's the Marcus element. That's all kind of where my Tennessee, like, they're my side chick. I enjoy them. I do.
I'm sorry, I got it.
Live and breathe with my wife, my Cardinals, and the Cardinals of the University of Louisville determine how good my holiday is going to be most of the year, how good my Christmas is going to be, how good my Thanksgiving is going to be. And right now, they're on pace to really piss on my holidays. So,
yeah,
I need to. Yeah, good call, Texter. No AEW tonight either.
Wait, why?
They, you've got NBA stuff that's kind of pushing them off.
Oh, and hockey. I forgot.
Yeah,
They're juggling both.
Yeah, pushing them off to Friday, Saturday, this week and next. Which, actually, next Saturday, I'm going to be in Orlando, and so are they. I was like, man, hey, but we got tickets to Halloween Horror Nights that night. So I'm like, got to go. But anyway, so with the University of Louisville, I automatically go, like I said, Marcus is able to kind of bring it down into I do not run to fancy like Texter. You take that back right now. But Marcus is able to break it down into game. I'm not, a lot of times. My question is, how do we fix this long term? That's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. And I tweeted something out on my run yesterday, right in the middle of the run, Nick. I stopped. I have a little fanny pack thing that's made for phones, right? That you put in, and it's, you know, I got my AirPods, and they're in, and I got my little fanny pack, and I'm running around Norton Commons. You know, just look, here I am. Baby, if I were, then what? And so I'm running, and I'm feeling good.
Get out of the road, jackass!
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, hey, you know, how y'all doing? No, the nicest people in the world live. Look, I know people aren't going to believe this. Some of the nicest people in the world live in Norton Commons. I kid you not. It shocked me.
Well, I mean, you live in Norton. I'm not trying to be that guy. Nice is nice, and I appreciate niceness anytime you find it. But you live in Norton Commons. It's beautiful. I mean, how could you be in a bad mood?
There to be a bunch of jackasses.
Yeah, pretentiousness.
Yeah. And there is some of that, I'm sure. Seriously, some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. When you're out on a run, I mean, it is just, hey, how you doing? Hey. Every once in a while, I'll get, hey, enjoy the show. Hey, you know, you kind of see the same people because I run at the same time every day. You know, it's kind of like, oh, man, hey, what's going on, Mr. Jones? You know, it's like, it's a great moment. So I'm running. My music's playing. I'm feeling good. I come around the corner, and I'm about to run up the, we have a park area, and I'm running down this stretch, okay? And I remember right where I was when I stopped, and I said, that's a good idea, Steve. I pulled out my phone, out of my fanny pack, went to Twitter, stopped right in the middle of my run. Didn't even turn my watch off, just let it roll. I said, if it was up to me, I would flip the defensive keys to Court Dennison, and I would turn him and Aaron Hodges loose on the recruiting trail. Random thought. On my run today, I hit tweet, and I took off and pondered my decision. And it's one, the more I ran, the better I felt about.
And it wasn't just the runner's high.
It wasn't just a runner's high. It was, what that was, Nick, was a fan that is told you already, guys, my happiness depends on this. Oh, I'm going to get to that one too, 802. I'm going to get to that one. My happiness depends on this. And I'm running, and I'm like, man, my cheese just off. I'm running around this neighborhood, and I'm going to be not humble. I'm going to be open for a minute. I'm running around this neighborhood. You don't don't see many UK flags over in that area. I will say that. That's one thing I love about that area. Actually,
see, that's surprising.
Charity's uncle invited me out to Harry's Saturday night. And nice. I'm like, hell no. Kentucky's playing. I'm not going and sitting out there after my team lost. I'm like, all right, I'll stop by. If it's crawling with Kentucky fans, I'm getting back in the truck.
Get that salad.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. I went up there, like two Kentucky fans over in a corner. I'm like, okay, these are my people.
Were they polite or were they still being obnoxious?
No, they were cheering for the game, but they weren't being obnoxious. Like, I mean, you don't bother me. I mean, you know, you're welcome to cheer for your game. I mean, whatever. Anyways, I'm running and just my whole cheese off. I'm like, God, I'm like, Saturday, they're playing. I mean, they're going to get killed by Georgia, but I'm like, they still get a whole week to, you're playing in the probably the biggest game of the weekend, you know? And it's like, oh. Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be up there, one of the biggest games of their
Yeah, right. History, like I said, I mean, they're getting all these eyes on them and they're just going to get obliterated. And that's funny to me, but that doesn't help me right now. You know, and I'm like, oh, this sucks. I'm kind of jealous. And I'm like, all week they're getting to be excited. And I'm like, and I'm just trying to fix my problem. So I'm like, okay, how do I fix my problem? And that was what made me stop. I'm trying to give you all this so you know where I'm at in a mindset. And I do agree with it. And I said this yesterday. And here's my thought process behind it. If Coach Satterfield makes zero changes on the staff, and I've been pretty open with my changes would be, I would let the defensive coordinator go, and I would let the defensive line coach go. That's been mine. I thought Mark Annis did a great job at breaking that down a couple weeks ago about our defensive line coach, and I kind of tagged on to his point with that one, because that was one where I was like, dang, you're right, man. I'm going to tag on to that one. Your defensive line coach really isn't recruiting at all. And my defensive linemen aren't getting better. Like, they're getting better, but it's like they're getting kind of better on their own, you know? And I think, and I'm just going to tell y'all, let me be totally out here. This is my opinion. This is my opinion. I flipped those keys to Court Dennison. And I would say for the rest of the year, Court Dennison, you're the defensive coordinator. He's the co-defensive coordinator now, but he's not really involved in that decision like that. I flip the keys to him and I say, you are the defensive coordinator. Now, let me tell y'all something right now. Court Dennison believes in pressure. I do know that. He believes in pressure. He has a different philosophy. So for anybody that would say you're getting the same thing, I would disagree. You're not. And I'm not trying to say there's a beef on the staff or anything. I then said I would turn him and Aaron Hodges loose on the recruiting trail. And, of course, some people were kind of like, and I didn't feel like responding to everybody yesterday, but some people were like, well, wait a minute. Isn't he already on the recruiting trail? Yes, he is.
That was going to be my question.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And that's a fair question. That didn't bother me at all. That's a fair question. But when you allow him to be the head guy. I believe if Court Dennison had his choice, Court Dennison would have Selah Brown committed, without question. I believe Court Dennison would have a few dudes already. I think when I say turn him loose on the recruiting trail, I'm saying give him and Aaron Hodges a little more allowance to allow them to kind of pick their guys and move that along. And then in the offseason, look, if Court's not that through the rest of the season, maybe you need to go get a defensive coordinator. And that's fine. That's fine. If you need to get a defensive coordinator, go get them. No big deal. But I would then, I think, look for me a D-line coach in the offseason, too. But here's my problem. If you make no change on the defense, and listen, I'm saying, Coach Satterfield, I think the offense is fine. I do. I think it should be more aggressive at points. Maybe he hires a guy to come in and help with the offense. I don't know. But, I mean, I think he's done a pretty good job for the most part on the offense. But if there's no changes made and this season finishes out the way we think it's probably going to, we're not going to, as a fan base, go, oh, okay, well, he'll make changes in the offseason. No. We're going to probably say, eh, you're probably not the guy. I think if he makes changes now, and this has happened before, so anybody said Charlie Strong fired his offensive coordinator and two position coaches right in the middle of the season, and it worked out pretty well.
I made that into a promo.
Did you? Okay, good.
I did.
Good for you. That was a good one. So, yeah, I mean, he's done that. That's happened here, and we've watched it work right here at the University of Louisville. I think that then allows people to go, okay, he's making some changes. Now, let's see. Maybe they improve throughout the year. I still think there's games, winnable games left. I'm not totally throwing Satterfield out yet. Like, I'm saying, I'm giving you a chance to maybe make some changes here, make some decisions. So we'll get a little – I want to let you guys talk too, but we'll keep – I got a couple more things on that, but I'm going to get to the phone lines really quick. Cool Guy Dom, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Steve?
What's up, man?
Man, I agree. You know, I won't say Lob Brown to get in here. You know, I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is too early in the season to come to these type of conclusions. I feel like we've played four of the top offensive groups that we're going to see all season. And this is an easy part of the season to come down on the defense. I feel like if you let it balance out throughout the rest of the year and take a look at it at the end, the numbers will improve for the defense like they have every year Brown has been here. We were giving up 55 points a game. We were the worst defense in college football. And, you know, we're 3 years down the road. We got a lot more room to grow. But every year he's gotten better. This is early. We had a rough first part of the season. We all knew we had it coming. But let's evaluate that at the end, because I'm sure it will balance out like it does every year. Thanks.
Fair enough. Okay. I appreciate the call, Cool Guy Don. Okay. And listen, I could listen to that. I still don't think you cannot make any changes, though. Would you agree with me on the D-line coach then? You know, I still think for me, because yes, it has, but I don't think, you know, we're 3 years in, man. We're 3 years in. And listen, I know it's improved, but when we can sit in the stands and literally go, hey, coach, if you brought more pressure, Virginia couldn't score on us. Oh, there they go. They scored. Okay, coach, next drive. Hey, you know, if you bring more pressure, they can't score us. You watch the third quarter, right? Okay. Well, they scored. I mean, you know, like, and we watched that for four straight drives on Saturday. Like, by the end of it, it was like, Coach Brown, they can't score if you bring pressure. I mean, the fans were like, and we watched on the final drive as they set back. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Touchdown. And the fans are like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, it was such an easy fix to win that game. And it wasn't just the fans. Mark Richt, the guys on the ACC network, were like, they were laughing. What is Louisville doing? They were breaking it down play by play. Like, what are they doing here? Like, this is stupid. I mean, like, all you needed was one stop. And we're 3.5. We're 2.5 years in. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2.5 years in, right? 2.5 years in.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. I mean, if you want to go ahead and give it. And my problem is, even with what Cool Guy Don said, and I know what he's saying, but so is that going to be the story for the rest of my life? Well, when we play the good defenses, our numbers are going to be down. Or the good offenses, our numbers are going to be down. And then when we play the bad offenses, our numbers are going to go up. Well, great. But I would like my numbers to be decent against the good offenses, too. You know, like, I don't want to just play where I'm like, well, if they got a good offense, man, they're going to torch us. I mean, listen, a lot of this comes from this, too. Louisville fans, deep in our hearts right now, we know. Kentucky's going to come in November. They're going to line up. They're going to point to that spot, and they're going to say, We're running Chris Rodriguez right there. Try to stop it. And unfortunately, Louisville fans know you're probably not going to. They're probably going to hand it off to Rodriguez and Smoke right up the middle. And they're going to run it, and they're going to run it, and they're going to run it, and they're going to run it. And we're going to be sitting there in Cardinal Stadium going, sweet Jesus. They're doing nothing but just handing the ball off, running right up the middle on us.
We're not doing anything different.
And we're doing nothing to stop it. They're just running. Now, flip side, I think we can score on them. I really do. I know there's a lot of talk about their defense. But anyways, that's 2 yards. That's 2 months down the road. I don't know. Anyways, let's keep it rolling. And now I'm going to get to this text line. Kevin, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Man, I'm on the other end on what happened Saturday. We lost by 1 point, and if I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm telling everybody to kiss my butt if I gave you 2 turnovers and you had to kick 6 field goals. That game was lost on bad offensive philosophy that game. Up until the fourth quarter, Malik Cunningham only ran 4 times. The games that we were doing good are the games when Malik makes plays with his legs, and all of a sudden they try to make him into Lamar like they seen.
Come on, dude. Yeah, like, listen, that I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that at all. Like, we wanted Malik Cunningham to throw the football. Like, that is something we wanted, was for Malik Cunningham to throw the football. And now that he's throwing the football, we can't turn around and say, no, now he should be running the football. Right?
Yeah. The games that we win are the games, if you go back and look at the games where we did good, all the games where he's making plays with his legs. You can't automatically take the guy's legs out of the game because you want him to throw. I mean, the offense was stale. I mean, we had to kick 6 field goals after getting 2 turnovers. If you don't see a problem with having to kick six field goals, it's the same thing that happened in the Florida State game. We just got lucky that we won. We did the same thing.
Okay, listen, if you have a problem with scoring 30 points consistently and still losing games, then I don't know what to tell you. I appreciate the call, Kevin. Like, I mean, we're scoring in the 30s, like, pretty average. I mean, like. Okay, I mean, I agree. I've said, I think he should be a little more aggressive. Now, not so much in his play calling, but I think maybe, hey, look, 4th and 1, go for it. You know, on your side of the field, go for it. Like, they're going to score. I know they're going to score a touchdown. Like, you know, you've watched the whole quarter. They're going to score. That's what I mean with aggressiveness. But, like.
Well, I mean, collectively, it looked like they were playing not to lose, not to
yeah,
win.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was on both sides of the ball.
That's yeah, fair. Right, man. Like, and I mean, I'm not. I mean, I like Kevin. Like, I'm not trying to be mean to Kevin, but, like, come on, man. Like, we can't say.
No, we hate Kevin. It's okay.
No. He's a good dude. He's a good dude. But Hassan Hall's running down their throats, man. Like, I mean, we gave up over 500 yards of offense in that game, and dang near put that up on offense against them. Like, I do agree to an extent. Yes, be a little more aggressive at times. I do think there were times where it was like, don't settle for a field goal, coach. Like, go for it on 4. Like, let's try to. But, dude, we put up 33 points, and we were up 30-13. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know. I mean, gosh. I mean, y'all tell me. I mean, I'm sorry if I was being too harsh there, but, like, come on. 33 points. I mean, and again, I do agree. Be a little more aggressive. I think we do settle for too many field goals sometimes. I agree with that. But that shouldn't have cost me the game against Virginia. Okay? Like, come on. Text line. Really quick, and then I'll move over to Keith. Texter says, do you think keeping Brown as a secondary coach and giving Court the keys to play calling would be enough of a change? I think when you move a defensive coordinator, you've got to move him on. Mark, you got something? Oh, okay. I think when you move on from a defensive coordinator, you don't move them to a position. You have to move on from them completely, in my opinion. Let's see, looking down. Steve, honest question. How many games in were you ready to make a change with Cragthorpe? 3. Yeah, 3. It was very easy. I'm joking. Actually, I started to get worried. If you want my honest, truthful opinion, I think every Louisville fan, when we watched Mississippi, with all due respect to Mark Blankenbaker, when we watched Middle Tennessee State in game two run up and down the field on us, even though we won that game, it was like in the 40s or 50s, I think every Louisville fan was like, we might have a problem. But we got Kentucky next week. Well, I think we're all right. But every Louisville fan was watching Middle Tennessee State in game two, and we were like, this is not good. This is bad. All right, let me keep it with the phone lines. Keith, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good
morning.
Don, when he called in, I was in his camp initially.
Yeah.
And I'm not anymore. And the reason for it is at some point you have to gain in your, you know, production of defense, which, you know, he has increased. You know, we were at like 120 or 119, something like that, when Bobby got here.
Mm-hmm.
And he did climb that up. But you have to sustain that into the next season at some point. Well, if what I saw true after this last game, we dropped back down to 118. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the case, we're not sustaining anything.
Yeah.
And with 523 left in the game, when they started that drive, I looked at the guy next to me and said, we're going to lose this game. They're going to drive right down that field, and they're going to score, and we're going to have any time left to do anything. And by God, you know, it was a miracle that we got the field goal range.
Yeah.
And the kicker, that's another subject all in itself. But I am with you. I think he's going to have to do what Matt did. He's going to have to swallow his pride, look, and he's going to have to get rid of some people on that defensive. The offensive side is improving. You know, Malik has shown incredible improvement over the last year. Everything about it is looking good. But we can't – I don't want a team where we have to rely on our offense to win games. You know, when he came here, the thing I liked about Scott was we're going to have a balanced team. You know, offense is just as important as defense and special teams. Well, if that's the case, it's time for him to do the walk. And that walk is probably getting rid of Brian Brown, the defensive line coach, because clearly – clearly, anybody can know that 3-4 doesn't work the way that he's working it, at least not the way he's doing it at Louisville. And it's frustrating as can be, because I really think we're wasting a year here. And we gave away two games, two really important games. But, you know, I may be off base, but that's how I see it anyway. So, yeah, let's hope for better results next week.
No, listen, Keith, I appreciate the call, man. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, well, the defense had five sacks and two interceptions. And I agree. But, I mean, can we all agree, like, that's fine. If you have 10 sacks and seven interceptions, the fourth quarter – You totally turned to butter and lost the game. Like, to me, and listen, I understand. I mean, y'all know how I feel about the whole thing. I mean, look, I would just bring a Brom, but that's y'all know how I feel about it. But I'm like
the prodigal son.
Yeah, but
returning.
I'm not trying to give up on Satterfield at this point, because I think, like, I mean, dude, like, we're scoring in the 30s. And we bring this entire offense back outside of Cole Bentley.
Still pretty young, right?
And we're scoring in the 30s right now, moving the ball pretty well. I mean, I think that's pretty good. You know, so
what's the number right now that you would be if the the offense doing their part, like the number they need to hit, and then it should be like there's.
Oh,
no,
I
and
think,
ifs or buts about it, that should be a W.
I mean, I think in any football game, you expect if I score 30 or above, I should win the game. It's not always the case. I understand that. But, like, and I'm not saying, you know, if you're playing a great offense and they come back.
Which Louisville has.
Which they have. I mean, you give them credit for that. Absolutely. They have played good offenses. Ole Miss is going to skew the numbers. I agree with that, man. Like, I mean, even Virginia, to an extent, it was the number two passing offense coming into the game. Like, I mean, they can throw the football. Okay? Like, I'm with you there. But I watched you make them not be able to do that. And then, okay, let's say they countered. You had no counter back at all. Like, none. You know, and that was the problem. Let's see. Steve, honest question. Does the fact we play so many walk-ons bother you? It does. It does. To an extent. To an extent, it does. Because I think that it's okay when you have a few. And I love the ones we've had. But, yes, when you get so many that are starting, I do start to go, okay, but why are so many of them? Like, but the other thing about the walk-ons are, too, a lot of local kids that are coming in and taking spots. So it's like, so we're just not going to take Salah Brown because why? Let's see. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines real quick. Let's go with Dana. No. It's up to Nick. Scotty O. Let's go with Scotty O and then Dana. Scotty O, what's going on?
Hey, Marcus. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I was just wondering if I missed something. Were we supposed to go undefeated or something this year, beat Alabama? Why is everybody so mad at him? We've been in every game except the first game. I mean, let's give him a little bit of support. Is everybody hating on Louisville, or are we there to help these kids grow and move on? I'll hang up and listen, man. Let's give these kids some support.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And no, I think that's one of the reasons, truthfully, I think that's why people are mad today or this week, because I think fans watched that game and said, dude, these kids should have won.
They did enough to get
there. Like, you kind of took the game out of the kids' hands. You know, it was like when I've got Yasir Abdullah, who is just wreaking havoc in the backfield on quarterbacks, running backs, everybody, and then in the fourth quarter I'm watching him just stand back there in coverage, I'm going, you're costing Yasir Abdullah, like, he's winning this game for you, and you're not letting him. You know, that's why I don't really fault on offense as much Satterfield is the way Hassan Hall was running the football. I would have done the same thing, probably. I think I would have gave him the ball. And we do forget in the fourth quarter, Satterfield drew – he dialed up, and you got to give him credit for this. He dialed up that one to Tyler Harrell deep.
Right.
That was a beautiful ball. Tough catch. And Harrell dropped it. I mean, it was a tough catch. But, I mean, he put that Malik. He drew that up, and Malik put that ball perfect. And Harrell drops it, you know. I mean, Hassan Hall has a 53-yard run, and we hand the ball to Hassan Hall. Like, I mean, he was running awesome. I mean, would we at least
165 yards?
Yeah, would we at least agree with that, you know? I mean, that's kind of my thing. And I'm trying to be fair. Like, I'm trying to be fair to Satterfield, because we've been angry at Satterfield too. And I'm trying to say, okay, I need to see you make a change, though. Like, I need to see you make a change, man. Like I said, Coach Mack, a year and a half ago, say what you want about him, had the number one team in the country. He made a complete philosophy change. I'm not talking about the personnel, the staff, and all that. I'm saying just the philosophy change. It's completely different. Okay, I can credit you for that. We'll see if it works. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm going to get to that later.
Let's cake bake.
Yeah, I mean, man, maybe you can't coach that. We'll find out. But I give you credit for trying. Let's see. Okay.
Let's get Dana, and then we need a break.
Oh, crap. Yeah, we do need a break. Well, that's on you. That's not my fault.
You've been rolling. It's I gotta let the butterfly fly. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
But yeah, but I also need to pay bills and not get yelled at. So
whatever.
Take Dana and then.
All right, then we'll take a quick break. Dana, welcome in. What's going on?
What's going on for you, man? I'm gonna say this. If you remember, I don't know if you do. You take a lot of calls every day, but a couple weeks ago I called in and I said Satterfield was gonna be on eggshells as far as the fan base. The minute he takes a bad loss. Now, you watching up about this like I have. A good loss can be, a bad loss can be a blowout or
sure.
A situation where we took off.
Yeah.
You got a comeback and you lost. You lost the lead.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just, we're at the point now where I think the fans are subconsciously just moving the goalposts because Satterfield's now at this point where he's on a week to week basis with us now. And I don't think. A short of a spectacular season, I'm talking about 9 or better wins, that we're ever going to come out of that. It's just going to be this constant, well, he didn't this week, well, he did. Regardless, I don't think you can just go 7-5, 8-4, and the fan base is going to be like, well, okay, now you have to do better than 9-3, 10-2. You got to do 11-1, something like that, because I just think the goodwill is just kind of dissipated. But I'll let you take it from there, man.
Hey, look, Dana, I appreciate the call, man. I don't totally disagree, you know, with what Dana's saying. All right, Nick's giving me a mean face, so here, let's take a break.
That's my baseline.
Let's take a break. Okay, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back here on Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Singers have always been a real close family, but lately some of my kinfolks have disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben. That was nice, Nick.
It was the first country song I could think of that wasn't like bro country.
I like bro country.
Well,
I actually love bro country.
I'll play some bro country then.
It's phenomenal. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben. I told you today we're going to have a little bit of emotional conversation. I think that's what's been happening so far. I think we're doing a good job, though. What I'm trying to do is stop the inter-fan arguments, like, right now. Like, I'm more like, how do we fix this? We all want to, because at the end of the day, we all just want U of L to be good. So how do we fix this? And I think the text line, the calls today have been very good at, okay, I see your point. What about this? Okay, I'm fine with that. Like, that's some days we can argue, that's fine. But today I'm trying to really say, look, let's get on the same page and let's figure out a plan here. How can we fix this? Text line real quick. Says, Steve, your idea will hold merit, in my opinion. Court is the co-defensive coordinator on this team. Let him take the lead and see what happens. I agree with that. At this point, the way the D is playing, it's hurting Clark's draft status. No one is locking down someone. That wasn't my decision, Texter. That was all Nick.
I mean, can you at least stretch before you throw me under the bus? You're going to pull something.
Wasn't me. That was all Nick. Somebody says Satterfield has to make an executive decision. It's part of being the head coach. That's kind of where I am, is maybe it's not getting rid of the defensive coordinator, but I do think he has to make a change. And I would make it in this break week of some sorts. Show me that you're willing to change, because I don't think we're totally out on you just yet. So let me see you're willing to do something. Let me see you're willing to change there. The way I kind of screwed Nick up, so the way we're going to have to do this is we're going to have to take another, here in just a minute or two, we're going to take like a 2-minute break. Or, well, now, apparently. That's Nick's world. I'm just living in it. We're going to take like a
drunk
two,
with power.
A 2-minute break. When I come back, and listen, we're going to be back right at 11:01, okay? Yeah, about 11:01, 11:02, no later. Matt Willinger is going to join me with U of L Alumni Association. You remember him from being on the radio for years here in the city. He's not very good on the radio, but we're going to bring him in anyways.
Neither am I. We have something in common. Yeah, no. Matt, we just became best friends.
Yeah. Like, he's kind of mediocre at best, but we're going to bring him in. And I'm kidding, dude. He's the man. And he's got some great things to tell us about the homecoming that's coming up. And I want to pick his brain. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to continue this football conversation and get into a basketball conversation. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.